Welcome to Community Houston. I'm your host, Chuck Akers. This is, of course, the public affairs broadcast for Cox Media Group Houston. Once a week, we get together here. And this morning, with us is Kathy Vosburgh. She's the executive director of Crosswalk Center. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Chuck.
What exactly is Crosswalk Center?
Crosswalk Center is Houston's hopeful reentry hub. We're serving nearly the 17,000 individuals that are being released from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice to Harris County.
I see. What was that number again? How many?
It can nearly be 17,000 individuals released annually.
Wow. Tell us what it is you do and why it is you do it.
So there's a huge need for individuals that are coming out of lengthy years of incarceration to have individuals that will advocate for them and walk alongside them when they're coming back into the community. Many of them have been in for so long that the world has changed since they went in, and they don't know how to navigate life or how to navigate society unless someone shows them the way.
So you're working specifically with people who are coming out of the justice system, I guess is the friendly way they say it, prison, and they're trying to get themselves back into the community, into society. Are these folks hand-picked?
So it is a volunteer process. So they self-select, and while we're inside with a team of volunteers, we take them through a 40-week re-entry discipleship and character development program.
And give us the mission of Crosswalk Center. I know there's an underlying mission here. What is it?
Well, because we're believers and or Christians, that's the underlying heart of what we do. So we're here fundamentally to serve the kingdom of God by unconditionally welcoming, serving, and coaching these individuals back into community and societal life.
We're speaking with Kathy Vosburgh. She's the executive director of Crosswalk Center. You work with these individuals extensively. You don't just say, okay, here's a job, or okay, here's some clothes for you to go to job interviews and then drop it at that. This is a full-on start-to-finish placement back into our society.
Yes, and what we say at Crosswalk Center, that it's a kinship and relationship. Human beings are made to be in community. So to ask somebody, for example, that's been incarcerated for 20 and 30 years to come out and try to navigate a city that we all know has changed even incredibly in the past 5 years, to navigate that without any resources or know-how, without the help of somebody to show them the way, 99.9% of the time, they're not going to make it. They will recidivate, which means they will go back to prison.
And I imagine that over that period of time, even societal norms have evolved.
That's very, very true. And one of the ways I describe and narrow it down so people understand, it would be like me giving any of us a $100 bill, the clothes on their back, and anything that they could carry in a knapsack, and basically dropping them, for example, into the heart of Singapore and saying, find a place to live, find a job, find a way to navigate, and you can only do it with a $100 bill.
Can you tell me what was the inspiration behind starting the organization, both in total and for yourself?
Well, if going back to that approximately 17,000 individuals released to Harris County every year, there was a group of individuals that were watching what happens at our Greyhound bus station. 5 days a week, TDCJ releases anywhere from 50 to 100 people through the Midtown bus station. And many of them come out, like I said, with only $100 and the things that they can carry on their back. And if they don't have a friend, a family member, or an advocate there to catch them when they release, then they're left to navigate on their own. They're left to their own devices and trying to figure out how to function, how to begin, how to start over in a region that's got, 6.9 million people. So that broke our hearts just because we're believers, but also in a practical sense, there's nothing in our mind and our heart that's humane about that. So we began to look at why does this happen and where are the gaps in the system. where the broken place is that perhaps as a group of individuals we could make a difference. And that's how it kind of all began.
How long have you all been around?
We actually got our 501c3 in June of 2016.
We're speaking with Kathy Vosburgh. She's the executive director of Crosswalk Center. When we come back, I'd like to hear some details about sort of the hands-on. We'll be right back here on Community Houston.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shelley Flace with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Parents make all kinds of choices about their child's health. One important way you can protect your child's health is with vaccines. Viruses and bacteria are unpredictable, and even healthy children can develop severe complications.
I'm all done.
By vaccinating, you can feel good that you're doing everything you can to protect your child from harmful diseases. If you have questions about your child's vaccines, talk with your pediatrician and visit healthychildren.org.
That is the call of a ring-tailed lemur resonating through the wildlands of Madagascar. And that's a male koala bellowing in the eucalypt forest of Australia. These animals speak different languages, but they both have the same story to tell. Their species are in trouble, their habitats are being damaged, and they need your help. Join the San Diego Zoo Global Wildlife Conservancy at endextinction.org and fight to preserve and conserve the homes of these endangered species.
Vicky, how are you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Back to Community Houston. I'm your host, Chuck Akers. This morning from Crosswalk Center, Kathy Vosburgh, executive director of the organization. And this is an organization, well, you say it better than I do. Tell me again, just a real quick summary, what is it that Crosswalk does?
We are serving the men and women that are releasing from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice to Harris County after they've served their time inside the walls and are at a place where they need to begin to reenter society.
So this organization does all this, but the question that begs is, does the justice system or the prison system or the state of Texas not have any kind of a stepping stone similar to what Crosswalk provides, or is there kind of a drop-off there when a guy or gal gets out of the penitentiary?
So Texas Department of Criminal Justice, they have really good people and really good programs, but right now there's about 148,000 people that are inside the walls of TDCJ.
Wow.
It is an overwhelming task for them. And because they are a government entity, they don't have the flexibility or the funding to actually do what each individual, each unique human being needs to help them get stabilized. We partner directly with Rehabilitative Services, the Parole Division, and also Reentry and Reintegration. So it's a collaborative effort. The Crosswalk program that's inside the prisons has been approved for statewide use.
Oh, nice.
And presently, we're in 11 prisons and growing as quickly as we can, find the volunteers that are willing to be equipped and trained to go in and help us do this very important work.
So you do work inside the prison, but if I'm a prisoner that's getting released, how do I go about contacting you, and how do I become qualified to participate in your program?
So we have other partners that we collaborate with because we really believe that not one organization or social service agency can do it all. So there are several groups that actually have what we call the bus station service and ministry, and they are very aware of Crosswalk. If they find an individual that doesn't know about us, but they believe that they could be a good fit for us, we actually have them call us and see if they're really ready to commit to a six-month outside the walls reentry discipleship program in one of our what we call transformational discipleship home.
Okay.
But in the secular world, it's considered a halfway house.
What kind of facility? Do you have one big facility, or do you operate where you have the ability to place people? Give me kind of a snapshot of that.
Presently, we have what we call an intake home. So anybody that comes to us must go through the intake home. Mm-hmm. It can house 24 individuals. Once they reach some benchmarks and we see that they're progressing, we do what we call step them down. They get more liberties and more freedom. There's some definite benchmarks. We are right now pressing to open house 3, 4, and 5. So that'll give us a total of 5. But the board of directors, the volunteers, the staff really want to change the reentry outcomes. We want to move the needle so that these individuals actually have safe and healthy housing from which they can begin to rebuild their lives.
Maybe you can give me a picture of the mechanics of this. I come out of prison, I get accepted to your program. Now what happens?
So we do what's called intake. And in the first 2 weeks, our main objective is to help them get all the what I would call social service needs met. If they are parolees, the first visit within 48 hours is you have to go visit your parole officer. Mm-hmm. They've never done this before. And many of them, when they come out, are not aware that they are going to be on parole, perhaps wear a monitor, have restrictions.
How about vocational skills? Is that part of what they do when they're in the program, is either pick up where they left off or maybe learn some new vocational skills?
Very much so. The two major practical barriers to a successful reentry are safe and healthy housing and living wage gainful employment. So all the individuals that come into our program either must possess a high school diploma or a GED. And within the first 7 to 14 days, we will put them to work with really great corporations that believe in second chance employment, living wages, full benefits, 40-hour week.
Go ahead.
So the 40 weeks is the reentry discipleship.
Okay.
And character development program that prepares them while they're still inside the walls.
Oh, I see. So once they're out, they've already begun the program. And at that point, once they actually get out of prison, that's when it's sort of the second half of this transition?
Yes. And then they go into our reentry discipleship home.
Uh-huh.
And that is a minimum commitment of 6 months.
Okay.
The reason we choose 6 months is, if you can imagine someone that's been incarcerated for, let's say, 15, 20, 30 years, mm-hmm. initially the thought of committing, let's say, to a year program can be overwhelming because they are relishing freedom.
Sure.
So we start at 6 months. And what's amazing is by the time they get to the 6 month mark and reach graduation, they have come to understand, most of them, that it is going to take more time for them to stabilize, or they may have dreams and visions of going to school and they need to stay with us. So it's definitely a journey.
So it sounds like once they've completed that initial cycle, as you say, the 40-week program, a part of the 40-week program, from there forward, once they're on the outside of those walls, it kind of sounds to me like you're custom building each program for each person based on their needs, their desires, and their abilities. Would that be a good way to say that?
Yes, it's called a reentry plan. They do things as a house family.
I see.
There are house meetings. There's a men's Bible study that's led by volunteer churches and men that want to volunteer their time. But after that, we are trying to get them to understand that they can fulfill dreams and visions no matter what happened to them in the past, mm-hmm. and that what they did should not define who they are and who they can become and who they were originally intended to be.
Suffice to say, there's a big focus on what you can do, not what you have done.
Correct.
What's your success rate?
As of today, of all the graduates that we have had, I can say none of them have returned to prison.
Really? And do you have even maybe a rough estimate of how many people have gone through your system since you have been around?
I believe as of today, we've had 68 come into the home.
Okay.
Not all of those 68 have left the home. We have, I would say, 12 graduates.
Okay.
Because we just really got the full flow of the program
kind
going.
Of connected the whole loop there?
Yes. We had to go through a lot of approvals that took 11, 12 months.
Oh, my.
Both with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice and also with our homes. If they're in the city limits, they have to be approved by the city of Houston. You know, I wouldn't call it red tape. It is just the journey and what it takes to do what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This particular model hasn't been done any place else that we know of.
Really?
It is very unique. And when you try to do a new thing, it is always difficult, but that's not a stopping point for
mm-hmm.
us. And what I say to many people is that we're tilling really, really hard soil. But there's going to come a time as we've been planting these seeds and watering them, there's going to be a lot more fruit from this effort.
We're speaking with Kathy Voss, Vossberg. She's the executive director of Crosswalk Center. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the program. And where I'd like to go next is I'd like to talk about the criteria to get in the program and how you work these folks through there. And as, of course, the success that comes out on the other end. We also want to talk about how folks can get involved both on both sides, both as a client and maybe as a volunteer to help you in your efforts. We'll be right back here on Community Houston.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C. But most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
This is our beautiful daughter, Emmy.
She was a bold little personality and such a bright light in our lives.
She was just 19 months old when we lost her to drowning. I'm Bodie Miller, and this is my wife, Morgan. As a family, we were careful around water. We had a fence around our pool, and our older kids had learned how to swim.
One day, we were visiting a neighbor, and all of a sudden, I couldn't hear Emmy. That silence was terrifying. Then I saw a tiny sliver of light where the back door had been opened. I ran outside and saw Emmy in the pool. We couldn't save her. As a mom, I want other parents to know how fast drowning can happen. It takes moments. You have to be vigilant, as if it's a lion waiting to snatch your child.
Drowning is the number one cause of injury-related death in children ages 1 to 4. We believe it should be the number one thing parents talk about when it comes to safety. This is urgent. If you have kids, please talk to your pediatrician about how to keep them safe.
That is the call of a ring-tailed lemur resonating through the wildlands of Madagascar. And that familiar sound is the call of an African elephant from the vast savannas of northern Kenya. These animals speak different languages, but they both have the same story to tell. Their species are in trouble, their habitats are being altered at a rapid rate, and damaged habitat means less food and less places to live. While we have reintroduced more than 40 endangered species, we cannot return them to a home that does not exist. Rescuing an animal is only half the battle. So please join San Diego Zoo Global Wildlife Conservancy in our efforts to preserve and conserve the native habitats of our endangered species and ensure that the wild places are filled with the wild calls of their inhabitants for generations to come. Join us now at endextinction.org.
Welcome Welcome back to Community Houston. I'm your host, Chuck Akers. With us this morning from Crosswalk Center, Kathy Vosburgh, the executive director. And as we've been discussing, Crosswalk Center works with people who are getting out of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice system, and they're trying to get their life back on track. In some cases, they've been behind bars for decades. Society has changed. The norms in the way we live have changed. Technology is literally everything in these people's lives is different. It's got to be like somebody lands a spaceship and they step off and they're on Mars. It just has to feel that way to these folks. They get $100 in the clothes they had on when they got incarcerated. They get dropped off at the Houston Greyhound bus station and they're stuck. And that's where you come in.
Yes, very much so.
Kathy Vosburgh, Executive Director of Crosswalk Center. Let's talk about the next phase of the interview here. We've talked all about how you do what you do, what you do, why you do it, how long you've been doing it. We've heard everything we need to know about the organization and your plan. But now what happens if I need your services? As we were saying off the air, let's say I've got a cousin who's up in Huntsville behind bars right now. Maybe when I go visit him, the first thing he always says is, I've got to make something better out of my life when I get out of here, but I don't know what to do. I've talked to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. They pretty much say, hey, we're going to set you free, figure it out on your own. They help as much as they can, but let's face it, their resources are very, very limited. Tell me how somebody could get involved. What can I go tell my relative behind bars how you can help them and what he or she needs to do?
So on the Texas Department of Criminal Justice units, where we have our 40-week Inside the Walls program, mm-hmm. which is called Stepping Out,
okay.
they need to contact the unit chaplain because we fall under the Rehabilitative Services Division under which the chaplaincy programs fall.
I see.
And they can sign up voluntarily to become part of the Stepping Out cohort or class of students.
Okay.
And begin that journey. If we're not on their prison unit, we do have Tier 1 partners. Those are other ministries and other organizations that are trying to help individuals prepare for release or have their lives transform. For example, there's an organization called Bridges to Life. Mm-hmm. There's also Jubilee Prison Ministries, Kairos Mentors Association, the Christian Restorative Justice Mentors Association, and a plethora of churches that go in Monday through Sunday and try to reach out to the men and women. If we hear of an individual that's come out and they can tell us, I wasn't in Stepping Out, I didn't have the opportunity, but I did go through Bridges to Life, or I was part of Jubilee, then we give them consideration to actually migrate and go into what is called Starting Out, which is our reentry home, transformational discipleship house, where they begin the minimum 6-month journey to stabilization.
I see. How many people, just out of curiosity, but by percentage, not necessarily by number, how many people just simply don't make it through the program for whatever reason, maybe discipline, maybe emotional problems? Is there a pretty good chunk of people that you simply have to find new solutions for?
So for those that have come through our program,
the 40-week In-wall program, behind-the-walls program?
Yes. The drop-off is usually because they either are paroled and they're let loose and they can't finish it, but that's okay. They can tell us that they went so far.
Okay.
Or they got moved to another prison unit, what's called put on chain, and they go to a unit where we don't have a presence yet.
So the problem of not following through is usually an administrative issue. It's not typically something that the prisoner, so to speak, is the problem child.
Yes. I'm sure if we looked at the numbers, some people would come into the class and it's not what they expected. And so they will self-select and they just won't show up to class. But for the most part, based on the numbers, I would say at least 75 to 85% of those that start will finish.
Wow, that's a great number. A fantastic number. Crosswalk Center is the facility. It's the organization. Kathy Vosburgh, the executive director of the organization, is who we're speaking with this morning. Once a person's in and once they're back out there on the streets and they've got their, I assume that there's some, as we said, some vocational issues that y'all deal with. Obviously, the emotional issues, the religious aspects of what you do obviously are very, very important to you. So we know how a person could get involved now. The next question is, what do you as an organization need from the community? volunteers, money, additional houses for more clients, just literally anything you need, what would those items be?
The main one, I would say, are what we call reentry discipleship coaches. And those are men and women that we teach at our center how to walk in relationship with somebody when they come out. Everybody needs a friend that when the chips are down, that they can trust, pick up the phone and say, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm struggling with. Someone that can talk them off of the fence, maybe redirect their thinking, and frankly, just be a friend and not treat them,
Like a convict.
Like a convict.
Yeah.
Instead, the human being that they are. So, you know, we tell the coaches, if you want to, you know, once a week, come pick up your guy and go have a hamburger and just talk. We don't put any of the tangible responsibilities on a coach. This is just about coaching, mentoring, being a friend. If the individual is part of a church family, they can ask and say, would you like to consider integrating into this group of individuals and learning how to function and begin to integrate with groups of people, how to walk and not be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Because for us, when you get isolated and by yourself, that's when you begin to think negative thoughts.
It's when the trouble starts, huh?
It's when the trouble starts. So again, it goes back to that kinship and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But society says to continue to shun them, even though they've served their time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're speaking with Kathy Vosburgh, Executive Director, Crosswalk Center. Money? Can you use some money? I always say to the folks that I'm interviewing is that I have a lot of wealthy friends. Ha! And they all have big fat wallets. If I just want to write you a check, can I do that?
You sure may.
Tax deductible, of course.
It is tax deductible.
There you go. So if you're driving to the golf course this morning, all my rich buddies, hopefully the weather's good this morning. If you're driving to the golf course and you just want to write them a check, that would be fine as well. Do you need other things? Supplies? Do you work with partners like companies that maybe have household supplies and things like that? Is that it? Or do you typically just take money and then have the household run itself?
Actually, if a donor wants to do something very, very tangible, mm-hmm. the moment that our clients come out, they need 5 days worth of work clothes.
That makes sense.
So on our website, we've got links where someone can actually go to smile.amazon to the Crosswalk account.
Okay.
And it's simple things that can be, you know, purchased at some of our local big box stores.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, work pants, work shirts, steel-toed boots, hygiene, safety goggles. If we can just get their clothes for the first 4 days so we can put them to work, I will tell you that there is dignity for a man and or a woman to be able to go to work and begin to understand that they can do this and they can begin to learn how to pay their bills and be responsible. So that elevates them and gives them, you know, value and honor. So to get help with their first week of clothes is wonderful. And then by 1 month in, a month and a half in, then they've received their first paycheck. And then they can begin to buy clothing that is, you know, for extracurricular activities and the things that they like and meet their personality.
So cash is good, but also signing on to buy them some clothing, some essentials, basically just giving them the foundation to let them feel normal and get started and be productive again, huh?
Yes.
We're speaking with Kathy Vosburgh, Executive Director, Crosswalk Center. If somebody wants to contact you, how could they do that?
They can call us at 713-237-0880. That's our main line. We have a whole team, a great staff. We have a housing director, Charles Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
If someone would like to consider administrative volunteering, we have data entry. There's special events at the center, the coaching staff, and then those that are teaching inside the walls. That would be our coordinator of volunteer programs and services. Her name is Kawanya Tinde.
Okay.
And if for any reason someone wants to assist with helping us secure safe and healthy homes for those coming out, They can actually ask for me.
Further information, the website is
www.crosswalkcenter.org.
Crosswalkcenter.org. Kathy Vosburgh, Executive Director of Crosswalk Center. You're doing some great work out there. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.